ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around telling him he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Of the reporter. Right now we rocking out to some Titty Boy, man. We got that 2 Chainz popping. It's a vibe. Rock out with your boy.
When we got that clientele, little boy paper trails. Broke so many bells down that I'm shell shocked. A hell Glock soul rocks by the mailbox. Got a vibe, make a yellow chick turn the neck. Got a vibe, make a cougar wanna spin a check. Got a vibe, make a Asian wanna botch. Got a vibe, make a Italian want Versace. Carbon copies get declined, I'm the pioneer. Beat that pussy up, I need riot gear. Any volunteers, gas in a Ziploc. Now that's loud and clear, this one out of here. This is our year.
That's a vibe, that's a vibe.
Yes indeed, man, yes indeed. Once again, like I said, this is one episode 176, man. This shit should have came Thursday, right? Should have came Thursday, but there's been a lot going on with your boy, man. We're going to get into that in a second. Before we get into the show, man, of course, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. You go ahead and hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages, and of course, I'll play them on the show and respond in kind. You can also email me here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave me those emails, and of course, I'll read those emails and reply to you right here on the show as well. You can also hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr. _Span, so go ahead, follow me there. We can chop it up throughout the week that way. Like the Mr. Span fan page on Facebook, but most importantly, join the Span Report group on Facebook. The Span Report, the hashtag TSRP, the fam. Go ahead, search that group up on Facebook and join us, and be alerted when we go join that group and be alerted when we're going live on the show. Interact with other listeners of the podcast, man. It's a nice little spot, nice little intimate spot right now for listeners of the Span Report Podcast to get together and discuss things amongst themselves and about the show. And for all of your Span Report needs, man, go to www.thespanreport.com. Go there for everything, man. You can vote in the polls. You can leave comments. You can leave donations how often as you like and as much as you like. And, of course, everything is appreciated here at the Span Report when you guys decide to do that. And yeah, man, you can go there and buy t-shirts, the whole nine, man. Everything is available there. You can watch replays of the show as we do these shows here live on Crowdcast, right? Because you can watch the show live on Crowdcast.io if you subscribe there, and you can get you can participate in the chat room, ask questions and whatnot right here in the show, and you can call into the show live when you do that. But everything is available at thespanreport.com. And also, before I get out of here with all of the business, the 5-star reviews, man. Hopefully you guys will be generous enough to help your boy out with a 5-star review on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. Those 5-star reviews really do help promote the show, put people up on the show, let everybody know that you're rocking out with us here at the Span Report and you like what's going on here, and it spreads the word, man. So I appreciate everybody who has the chance and the opportunity to go ahead and do that for your mans, man. Real talk, it's very much appreciated, right? So check this out. I don't even have cue card. I don't have cue cards tonight. I haven't had a chance to write down any notes. Nothing like that. Like, I'm going to be like winging it tonight. Like, everything is going to be like right off the dome. Like, I don't have no talking points. I ain't got nothing. All I know is I got the shit that I saved earlier this week that I wanted to talk about to you guys on Thursday. That I wanted to talk to you guys about on Thursday. But I didn't have a chance to like kind of write a lot of my thoughts down, right? Or like the points that I really want to make. So it's going to be kind of off the cuff tonight. As I mean, most of the shows really are. Like, sometimes the talking points are there and they're important, but then other times, man, I totally ignore what I've written down earlier and then I just kind of go for what it is. But yeah, man, like, no cue cards tonight, man. Just pretty much gonna pull up these articles that I read throughout the week and like just get my thoughts on them, man. That's pretty much how we gonna roll here. And another thing, man, I kind of feel like with the way I've been working and the way things have been falling as far as like you know, the podcast and putting the shows out consistently twice a week, because it's becoming a little bit of a challenge. I've been thinking about kind of tweaking the schedule, or at least the days in which the show is being recorded live, man. So Sundays generally are good. We're usually good on Sundays. It's usually that Thursday show where we run into some problems. So I'm wondering whether or not I should do that show either on a Wednesday or a Friday. I'm not exactly sure yet how that's gonna roll. But yeah, man, like I gotta tweak it a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Because we're running into some problems where we want to put out the show twice a week and we want to do it consistently and we want to do it where you can count on the show coming out on those days and whatnot, and I don't have to postpone or whatever else. So yeah, man, that is what it is. But for right now, Sundays and Thursdays are still the days. I'll let you guys know in the Facebook group when and if I decide to change the broadcast dates for the live shows. All right. But yeah, man, it's been a busy week. It's been a busy week, man. I've been, you know, working and whatnot, and, you know, family obligations come into play, man. So, you know, every night, like, although we will want to do this consistently and we will want to do this when we say we're going to do this, man, sometimes other things take precedent, and that's what happened this week, man. Like, my father-in-law needed me, my wife needed me, and my daughter needed me. So, yo, like, they, as much as I like y'all, they take precedent over y'all. So yeah, man, like that's what happened with Thursday, man. Like, Thursday show, I ended up doing something, and then Friday show, and like, I thought I was gonna do it Friday, and like, nah, that didn't happen Friday. And then Saturday, I got tied up with that, and then like, not only that, man, I was tired. So yeah, no more excuses, but that's what it is. Like, we couldn't get the show out Thursday, but here we are Sunday, man. So I appreciate everybody who's here listening and continues to listen to the Spirit Report podcast. Is very much appreciated for all of you guys who go ahead and do that, man. Real talk. But yeah, so now that we got all of that out of the way, I heard there was a fight this weekend, right? there was a fight this weekend, and I gotta be honest, man, like I could care less about that fight at all. Like, real talk. Like, one of my neighbors, my next door neighbor, I was cutting the grass earlier today, my neighbor Jerry, he stopped me as I was wearing my headphones, which is another pet peeve of mine, when folks like see you with headphones on, it's like, fuck what you doing, I want to talk to you. And he didn't really, I know he's an older guy, he didn't really mean anything by it, but like, he asked me about the fight last night, and I said, well, Jerry, I didn't watch the fight last night, I don't care about either one of those guys. And he's like, oh, well, you know, they stopped the fight early, yada. He continued to go on about what was going on with that fight. I did not care anything about that fight. Like, like, the whole thing with the Mayweather-McGregor thing, like, I just, it always reeked of Great White Hype to me. Like, that movie, The Great White Hype, with Samuel Jackson, Damon Wayans, and Peter Berg. Like, it always reeked of that to me. Like, this was just another cash grab opportunity where we knew what the outcome was ultimately going to be. But they were going to make a clown show out of it anyway, and that's exactly what we got. We got the lead up to the fight, which is a clown show all the way up through and through, where, you know, you had the racial thing going on, where, like, folks were like, you know, Floyd Mayweather was out here trying to sell us on the fact that Conor McGregor was a racist, and Conor McGregor denying that, and, like, although while he was doing racist things throughout the promotion of the fight, like, I looked at that entire circus like, nah. And then on top of that, then I got, like, friends asking, yo, Span, you gonna order the fight? Nah, I ain't ordering the fight. Now, you gonna go to this fight party? Nah, I'm not going to no fight party. I was pretty good on that fight. We already knew what the outcome was gonna be. Now, of course, like, I didn't watch the fight, but people were talking about, like, the fight was a little bit better than they anticipated it to be, that the fight went a lot longer than anyone anticipated that it would last. But then you think about it, it's a Floyd Mayweather fight, man. Like, Floyd Mayweather doesn't necessarily have the... I didn't think he had the power to, like, really knock anybody out. When was the last time any of you saw Floyd Mayweather knock anybody out? Floyd Mayweather is usually one of those dudes, he sticks and moves, and he tries to win on points. And that's not to say that there's anything wrong with winning on points. It's just not the most exciting version of boxing that I'm like that I would like to see. Like, I would like to see people kind of mix it up a little bit more, especially in a Floyd Mayweather bout. But, like, that's not how he gets down. You know what I'm saying? So, like, there's that. And then also, of course, you guys know, if you've listened to me for any length of time, man, like, when it comes to Floyd Mayweather, like, I'm just not a big fan. Like, you know, I'm not a big fan of, like, the whole money team shit, like, the persona that he came up with after a while, because at first it was Pretty Boy Floyd. It went from Pretty Boy Floyd to the money team and being flashing in your face about the amount of money that he was making and everything else. Add to the fact that he's in the, you know, like, he's friends with Donald fucking Trump. Like, and y'all know how I feel about fucking Donald Trump, right? So, like, there's a whole lot of things to not, like, be excited about when it came to that fight, at least for me. Like, and I'm not, like, for those of you who, you know, wanted to watch the fight and whatever, I ain't, like, do your thing, man. I ain't mad at you. I'm just, like, I kind of feel like some of y'all got fleeced if y'all paid for it, though. Right? I kind of feel like some of y'all, like, y'all spent the $100 to watch a movie that y'all could have seen 20 years ago. Right? But that's just, it is what it is, man. But yeah, a fight happened last night, man, and quite a few people were watching that fight. Quite a few people were mad. I heard there was some issues with the pay-per-view. Like, folks were paying, like, they paid like $100 for the pay-per-view, and then the pay-per-view wasn't even showing and all sorts of stuff. And they were saying, like, instead of giving folks their money back, they would just, like, they would broadcast it in standard definition, and, like, maybe you got $20 back or some shit like that. Now, I'm gonna tell you this, man, you got a 4K TV or HD TV, and you decide that you're gonna pay for the HD, and they gonna give you some shit that you didn't pay for. You can't even take advantage of the shit to take advantage of the TV that you got in your house. And they're like, well, we gonna give you this, and maybe we'll give you $20 back. We'll credit you $20 in your cape. Man, fuck that. Nah. Right? So yeah, man, like, that was the thing, man. Like, Floyd Mayweather was fighting, and people were, you know, they were excited about it. But one of the things that I think was very interesting, man, in this whole Floyd Mayweather thing, the Floyd Mayweather Conor McGregor thing, was, like, there was a lot of people who looked at that fight on racial terms. And I know we live in a racial polarized time right now. I know we live in a time where, like, everything is on edge when it comes. We just had Charlottesville happen. We just had Donald Trump pardon that sheriff in Arizona, Arpaio, like, pardon him after he was racially profiling a lot of Hispanic folks and locking them up and sending them to the government and everything. Like, there's a lot of racial tension going on in America. And so I think, you know, to some degree, Floyd Mayweather was trying to tap into that when he started touting up the whole racial aspect of this fight. But as I watched, like, dudes sit up and talk about how he was standing up for the culture, Floyd Mayweather was standing up for the culture and all this other shit, it rings hollow. It rings very hollow when, like, this is a dude, like, who has been known to beat on women, who's a dude who is known to pal around with Donald Trump, who is also known to pal around with racists as he bemoans Conor McGregor's racism, you know? So, like, the whole thing rang hollow to me for Floyd Mayweather to be this dude that everybody is now calling is, like, he's standing up for the culture, when everything about this dude says he's nothing about the culture and it's everything about money for him. You know what I'm saying? So, like, there's a whole lot that was going on around that I just didn't really want to be a part of, man. I looked at it like, nah, I'm good. I am good on that, man. But, you know, like I said, no shade to any of you who, you know, who went on ahead and went to the fight party, man. Because I know sometimes, man, it's about the party, man. Y'all want to, it's about, hey, it's a Friday night. We can get out. We might not even be really watching the fight or paying that much attention to the fight, but we get a chance to be around our people. We get a chance to drink, eat, and be merry and all that other stuff. For all of you who are a part of that, by all means, man, enjoy yourselves. Enjoy that good time. For me, though, just for me, I wasn't feeling that shit. I wasn't feeling, you know, I haven't paid for a Floyd Mayweather fight since like the Mayweather-Mosley shit. You know what I'm saying? And that was a while ago. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, man, that happened. Let's see. Another thing kind of went on this week, man. Cause like I said, I ain't got no notes this week. I ain't got no notes. It's been real busy for me this week. Let's see. Oh shit. Matter of fact, let's see. Let's keep going this segment here. Let me pull this up. Where is it? Where's my music? I'll be damned. Okay, here we go.
What in blue blazes is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say blue blazes?
All right, today on What in Blue Blazes, we got KFC out here doing some experimenting, y'all. KFC has done something that I don't think any of us ever really expected them to do. They have come up with another way for you to eat chicken. Another fucking way for you to do it. So, KFC has this new dish out called the KFC Cheetza. You heard that right, Cheetza. Now, I got this video. Let me go ahead and share the screen here so you guys can check this out for yourself. So, let me pull this up. And we're going to all watch this shit together. And, go ahead, share. There we go. All right, so let's check this video out, man. The Cheetza in the making. Marinated chicken breast. Put marinara and ham, pineapples, mozzarella cheese, and cheese sauce. And they bake it. Serve it to you. All right, so seems simple enough. Here's what happened. KFC decided that they were going to make a pizza out of a grilled chicken. Fried chicken breast, and they put on marinara sauce. They put ham, and they put pineapple chunks, and they put mozzarella cheese on there, and then they put some sort of cheese sauce on there, and they call it a pizza. This is from the same people who gave us the Double Down. If any of you guys remember the Double Down, was one of those monstrosity sandwiches where it was like, yo, we gonna make the sandwich with the chicken being the bread. And then they put like cheese and like potatoes and stuff like that in the middle of it. And like, yeah, your man Span tried it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was curious enough, man. I felt like my heart could withstand all of the calories and the cholesterol that KFC was putting down for your boy. But yeah, I tried that. I don't know if I'm gonna try this one here, but this will be a poll question for you guys later on in the show, man. Will you try the KFC Cheetza anytime soon, man? Because I'm pretty sure with things like this, they usually come out for a limited time. So will you guys try I almost said Pizza Hut, KFC Cheetza. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Cheetza from KFC. Yeah, will you try that? Do you think it'll be as good as the Double Down? Do you think this will last longer than the Double Down, man? I don't know. We're going to see, man. So check this out. The KFC Cheetza. Yeah, that's happening. That's a thing, right? Another thing that's going on, man, this week. Here's a story. And this is a segment that we haven't had in quite some time, man. We got a...
Baby, it's sexy time with Mr. Span.
All right, man. So we haven't had a sexy time in Mr. Span story in quite some time, man. And tonight we're going to talk a little bit about dick size, right? There was a story that came out in Vice, man, where they were talking about There was a story about penis size that make you either feel very good or very bad about your own personal penis, right? And so in this story, man, I'm going to read from Vice.com. It says, penis news now, and thank you, science, for this. There are now finally some hard and fast numbers on what constitutes an average penis and what constitutes an above average penis lengthwise, which is good. The numbers will bring a message of hope and support to every man alive. Every man alive secretly constantly worrying if their penis is average enough or not. Men constantly worried about the perceived dick length when compared to others. Penis paranoia being the only reason wars start. The only reason men make money or get rich. The only reason Donald Trump is running for president. Everything, when it all boils down to it, every action man undertakes to prove or disprove how average their penis is. So thank you, science, for this. Oh, okay, that was a really poorly written paragraph there. Since anywhere, a new large-scale questionnaire study combo by online sexual health website Dr. Ed has found a small but statistically significant difference between the average penis size as perceived by penis-having men and non-penis-having women, with men guessing that the average was 5.6 inches and women chucking it somewhere nearer to the 5.4-inch mark. Now, that's interesting. That men had the average perception, or the perception that the average penis was around 5 inches. With the way in which men talk about the length of their dicks and all this other thing, like, you would have thought that dudes thought the average size was somewhere between 6 and 7 inches. That's what I would have thought. That, like, because of the attitude that a lot of dudes, this hyper masculine, this hyper sexualized society that we live in, is you would have thought that a lot of dudes, oh shit, man, should average about what, 7, 8 inches. Know what I'm saying? You know, because I'm a little bit above that. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit, I ain't got them problems. You know, shout out to our disabled brothers, you know what I'm saying, for, you know, having those smaller wieners, man. But, yeah, man, about the average, about 7 to 8. Nah, man, it was some realistic, like, on some 5-6 inches kind of shit, right? It said, when asked what their ideal length is, men went for 6.5 inches and women went for 6.2. Again, I would have thought that the people would have said a little bit more. I really would have. I would have thought that a lot of dudes would have been like, yeah, man, about, like the desired length, like their ideal length. You know what? Again, because of the ways in which we talk about these things, because of the hyper-masculine, you know, ways in which we talk about, like, dick size and all these things, and, like, how, you know, dudes talking about tearing pussy up and beating pussy up and all these other things, like, you would have thought that, like, yo, 8-9 inches, 7 inches, or something like that. But, like, yo, 6.5 inches is what they think is the ideal length for a man, right? It says the survey also found that size perception changed depending on which country you come from. So Polish, Austrian, and Italian people had a high expectation of average penis size, while Portuguese, French, and obviously the British, obviously there is something in our makeup, the internal underdog complex, the world is against us and our undertowing penises, pitched the average length much lower. So good day to be Polish and have a big dick. Bad day to be British. Anything, huh? The anonymous Dr. Ed Penis spokesperson said that when it comes to perceptions of average size, men and women have very similar ideas. Women estimated the average penis length to be about 5.4, and for men, this is only 0.1 inch greater. We compare this to the results of a 2015 review of studies on penis size that included over 15,000 men from around the world. So they got a pretty big sample on this one. The average penis length when erect was found to be 5.2 inches, almost one whole centimeter less than the average estimate given by men in our study. When considering notions of an ideal length, it becomes clear that expectations don't always match up with reality. The survey, which polled 2,121 over 18-year-olds and 1,055 from America, and 1,066 dotted through Europe, also tallied male satisfaction with penis size, with most men being pretty okay with their dicks. 29.5% had neutral feelings about their size, while only 10.3% were actively dissatisfied, and 1.7% were furiously dissatisfied with the state of their choppers. The majority, 44.5%, were satisfied. Now, I gotta say, man, furiously dissatisfied, like how do you come to that conclusion? Like, what does someone who is furiously dissatisfied with their penis size do? You know what I'm saying? Like, how do they go about expressing their dissatisfaction? Like, how dissatisfied they are that isn't harmful to other people who had absolutely nothing to do with the size of their dicks. Like, I don't, like, that's something I had to, like, how do you even get to that point where, like, you are furious, like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this? Like, how do you get that? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, 1.7% of men around the world are furiously furious. Like, they are upset. Like, they will hurt somebody over the size of their dicks. Yeah. Yeah. And, it, you know, it kind of goes into the, like, again, that whole expectation that we have of what we're supposed to be walking around with, what we're supposed to be packing with. Like, the, there's, like, the one of the things that I say on the opening of the show is, like, you talk about, like, the perception or the ways in which we look at, you know, the world. Like I was talking about, like, the men with the khakis and whether or not they change their khakis because it makes their dick look big, and they're worried about whether or not their dick looking big is going to make, you know, them not wear these khakis. It's like, yeah, the attitude that a lot of dudes have, like, when it comes to their penis, usually is like, yo, it's of, you know, like, we want to there's the perception or there's the projection that a lot of dudes put out that, like, yo, I am, you know, virile. You know what I'm saying? Like, I am able to reproduce. I am able to knock the lining out of it, or whatever it is. Like, this whole masculine concept of what a penis is supposed to be. And so I guess that's the one thing that, like, gets these men to the point where, like, yo, I am furiously upset with what I'm working with. You know? And it's weird, man. Like I don't know really how to articulate how someone could feel, like, upset to that point where they're furious at the size of that. You know, maybe y'all can, like, maybe somebody can, like, write into the show and let us know how that whole thing works. You know what I'm saying? Cause yeah, that's unfortunate. That is very unfortunate. Yeah. Yeah, we gotta get the fuck out of here with that sexy time shit.
Yeah, baby. It's sexy time with Mr. Span.
All right, man. All right. So, yeah, man. Going from that to something that's a little bit more serious, man. The rapper, Mystica. We all grew up with Mystical, man. Remember, he was out that boot camp click and all that other shit, man. He joined No Limit, and it was, you know, he was on the tank and all this other stuff, man. Mystical, who went to jail for sexual assault already once, has been arrested again for first degree rape. So the story we get comes out of Shreveport, Louisiana. So Shreveport police have issued a warrant for the arrest of rapper Mystical stemming from an alleged October 2016 sexual assault incident in the Louisiana city. If I don't shoot myself in the foot, then it won't be a race. The warrant charged both the 46-year-old rapper, birth name Michael Tyler, and a 26-year-old woman named Averwon Holman with first-degree rape. While Holman was arrested Friday in Killeen, Texas, police are still searching for Mystical. He has since been arrested since the story came out. The alleged incident took place October 22nd. The same night Mystical's Legends of Southern Hip Hop tour took place in the city. The Shreveport Police Sex Crimes launched an investigation into the assault, and after gathering the victim's statement, witness testimony, and DNA evidence, were able to connect the Shake Your Ass rapper to the scene. KTAL reports. Additionally, a 42-year-old woman named Tanisha Wofford, an associate of Mystical and Coleman, allegedly attempted to convince the unnamed victim to drop the race accusation against the rapper. Wofford has since been charged with one count of accessory after the fact of first-degree rape, but like Mystical, remains at large. Now, here's the thing, man. One of the things that I find very interesting about this is, like, when it comes to, like, a lot of these artists, when it comes to, especially when they get in trouble like this, they kind of project a lot of they drop a lot of hints in their music, man. Like, so Mystical has been telling us he was a danger to a lot of motherfuckers for a long time now, right? Mystical has told us he's walking in the door with his dick in his hand. Don't make me leave here with my foot in your ass. Be cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, Mystical has been telling us that he's a pussy crook. Like, he has been dropping these little subtle these nuggets for a long time, and we hadn't paid attention. He been yelling at us the same shit for years, man. Like, he came out, what, 95, 96? Like, he been saying this shit for well over 20 years now, man. For well over 20 years. And you would hope, like, you know, someone in his position who had already been locked up on account of a sexual assault, who had already had a chance to rectify, you know, his situation with, you know, society, right? He paid his debt to society, went to prison, he served some time for what he did, and to come right back out and do the same thing again, man. Like, it's, and, you know, and, like, of course, man, like, you know, one of the things about this is, like, you know, there were women involved in, one, helping to facilitate this particular assault, and two, trying to cover it up. And one of the things that, you know, as we've talked about, like, sexual assault and, you know, rape culture and things like that, like, I've had dudes come up to me and say, well, like, there's women who agree with this stuff. Like, there are women who have no problem with a man being aggressive, and have no problem with a man being forceful and forthright on what he wants and all these other things. But one of the things about that is, like, yo, man, like, just as there are black people who don't necessarily have the best interests of black people in mind or at heart, the same thing applies to a certain segment of women who don't necessarily have the well-being or the advancement of women at heart first and foremost. Like, the same principle applies. There's a lot of pick me women out here, man. Like, women who, for whatever reason, decide that they're going to somehow speak against their own self-interest in order to get picked up by some of these problematic niggas. Like, that thing, that's a thing. Like, it happens every day. So, although it's disappointing, to see that there were also women who helped facilitate this assault, it's also not necessarily a surprise when you understand the dynamic, you know? So, yeah, man, Mystical is, I think he's, I don't know if he's been released or if he's out on his own recognizance or if they're still holding him, whether or not they granted him bail or whatever else. But the fact that Mystical is still, after being released and given a second chance to go out here and perform and make money and do what he loves to do, the fact that he can't let this particular part of him go is very sad, man. It's very sad. And, you got to pay the cost, man. You got to pay the cost for being out here doing this kind of shit. This shit is not acceptable by anybody, by any means, man. So, yeah, that has been going on, man. Let's see what else we got going on in the news, man. What's going on here? Oh, shit. Here's another thing. Here's a story that I thought was very surprising, man. The New York Police Department, officers from the NYPD are actually having rallies in support of Colin Kaepernick out in Brooklyn. Now, the funny thing about that is Colin Kaepernick, who took a knee last year to highlight police brutality and the extrajudicial killings of unarmed people by the police, especially black folks. Like, the NYPD was very high profile in one of those cases last year when it came to Eric Garner's being choked out by Daniel Pantaleo on video. So the fact that the NYPD is out here rallying for Colin Kaepernick is a little surprising to me, but we're going to read this story. This comes out of New York Daily News, and it says that because Colin Kaepernick took a knee, these cops have his back. Law enforcers past and present turned out Sunday in a show of support for the controversial NFL QB, whose public stance against racism and police violence preceded his current unemployment. What Colin Kaepernick did is try to bring awareness to this nation, unfortunately, has ignored for far too long. New York Police Department Sergeant Edwin Raymond, who helped organize the Brooklyn event. And that's the issue of racism in America and policing in America. We decided to gather here today because of the way he's being railroaded for speaking the obvious truth. Kaepernick, who's 29, finds himself without an NFL job so far this year after he began kneeling during the national anthem before last season. Supporters insist that the quarterback was blackballed over his politics. Dozens of NYPD officers joined Raymond in wearing black shirts with the logo hashtag I'm with Cap. City Council member Jermaine Williams opted for a red Kaepernick jersey. Near the end of the rally, all involved raised their fists and took a synchronized knee in support of the one-time San Francisco starter. Veteran quarterback Kaepernick remained unsigned after opting out of his contract with the 49ers, even after announcing he would stand for the anthem this year. So, again, like, when it comes to Colin Kaepernick, we've been seeing a lot of stuff with, you know, revolving Colin Kaepernick. Folks are talking, actively talking about boycotting the NFL this year and meaning it. We've seen a lot of players within the NFL who are now taking the stance in support of Colin Kaepernick. And one of the, like the thing is, although I am happy that a lot of those NFL players are picking up the baton and carrying on the movement in the way in which, you know, in the way in which Colin Kaepernick started it, where it comes to taking a knee during the national anthem and showing their displeasure with the ways in which this country has treated marginalized people. At the same time, I do kind of wish that they had spoken out, or more of them had come out and spoken out on this issue last year. I'm happy for those who are continuing to do this, because we saw a lot of it kind of like, you know, kind of shy away from this last year. You know, there's been talk that, you know, for some of these guys, like, oh, they got these, you know, they've gotten some sort of security with their contracts. And so, you know, they're now allowed to do this, where one of the things about this that I think kind of goes under, you know, is not necessarily understood. When it comes to NFL contracts, that money ain't guaranteed, man. About the only thing that's guaranteed with NFL money is the signing bonus. A lot of these guys, they have to renegotiate their contracts. Sometimes their contracts are scrapped and done away with. Sometimes they have to restructure their deals in order to fit within the team's salary cap and everything else. Their money isn't guaranteed. The only thing that's guaranteed to them really is the signing bonus. So a lot of them don't really have the freedom that we think that they have when it comes to, well, he got his contract, so now he's free to speak. Like, no, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Colin Kaepernick opted out of his contract. You know what I'm saying? Like, he opted out of his contract so he can go into another position or go to another situation, because he didn't feel like, yo, the San Francisco 49ers were not going to continue on with Colin Kaepernick as their quarterback. As much as the San Francisco 49ers praised Colin Kaepernick, like the team praised him, they gave him the team's highest honor as being a member of the San Francisco 49ers. Incoming general manager John Lynch spoke highly of Colin Kaepernick and talked about how Colin Kaepernick was being received by his teammates. But, yo, he did not extend an offer to Colin Kaepernick to stay for the San Francisco 49ers. So, you know, that whole thing, man, is just like a mess all around. But to see the New York Police Department or certain officers within the New York Police Department, let's not make any mistake here. Like, this, the New York Police Department came out in force against the Black Lives Matter movement when it came to Eric Garner, and like they turned their back on the mayor. I think Mayor de Blasio gave a eulogy after a police officer in New York had been gunned down. I believe it was a officer, I think his last name was Lou, an Asian officer who had been gunned down, and Mayor de Blasio officiated over that funeral. And a lot of those police department, a lot of those officers turned their back on their own mayor because of his support of the Black Lives Matter movement, because Mayor de Blasio got black kids that he's raising. And they actively turned their back on him. So the fact that, like, every last one of these cops, yeah, you can look at this picture, I think, that we have up here. The vast majority of these cops, yeah, they're black. There's one white guy at the lectern, and I think that's, Frank Serpico. And Frank Serpico, who was a whistleblower years ago for the crooked New York Police Department. Like, they made a movie about him. Al Pacino played Frank Serpico in a movie years ago. Like, I think this happened in, like, the 70s. So, like, yeah, although I applaud the New York, these cops, for doing this, because not enough of them speak out, and this is what we asked for, pretty much. I know I've asked for it on here, right here on the Span Report, man. Like, yo, not enough of the good cops are standing up and speaking out against a lot of these bad cops who are making it known, and like, yo, I don't give a fuck about doing with the right thing when it concerns people of color, and we are occupying their space, and we are making sure that they stay in the areas in which we think they belong, and that they don't do anything that we don't think is going to harm property or get in the way of white people. Now, they don't come out and they don't say this specifically. They don't say this explicitly, but it's damn sure the message is very well sent, right? So, yeah, man, New York Police Department officers coming out in support of Colin Kaepernick, right? And it kind of flies into the face of everything that, like, you know, the narrative that a lot of these white folks who are upset with Kaepernick take, right? Because remember last year, they were making a big deal about the pig socks that he had on. They were talking about Colin Kaepernick is disrespecting the flag and the national anthem by taking a knee or by sitting down, and that he is disrespecting the military and all these other things. They projected all of this bullshit into what they thought Colin Kaepernick was talking about, never really acknowledging what Colin Kaepernick said the movement or what his plight actually was. And when he articulated it, they totally just said fuck what he was talking about and made it about what they thought that they wanted it to be about. And that still happens. that still happens where they did just come up with some shit like, okay, well, this means this, and it has absolutely nothing to do with what he said he was about. So, yeah, man, I will applaud. I will take the chance. I will take the time. And I will applaud the New York Police Department officers who participated in this action right here, man. Like, you get, you know, like, it's not necessarily, it sure as hell isn't all that needs to happen. But it's a step in the right direction for them to come out with this action, man. So, yeah, man, shout out to them for that, man. Real talk. Let's see. What else is going on here in the news, man? Oh, shit. Yeah, man. Yeah, this happened, too. R. Kelly Memphis concert was scheduled for today. That shit got canceled. Now, let me say. I just got to say for...
But
Memphis.
You also had people that were very fine people on both sides.
Right? So check this out. If you were planning to see R&B singer R. Kelly on Sunday, you may want to change your plans. The FedEx Forum released the following statement. Due to unforeseen circumstances, the R. Kelly concert at the FedEx Forum, originally scheduled for Sunday, August 27th, has been canceled. Full refunds for tickets purchased through Ticketmaster online or via phone will automatically be credited to the original method of payment. Tickets purchased through FedEx Forum box office can be refunded beginning at 10 a.m. on Monday, August 28th at the box office. Tyrese Gibson and Monica were also set to perform. So check this out, man. I really do want to say to Monica and Tyrese Gibson.
Fuckface. First, take a big step back and literally fuck your own face!
Yeah. So... here's the thing, and I want to make myself very clear with this. Like, we can sit here and we can talk about how we are, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, the things that we are for, man, and like the things that we stand for and the things that we are, our principles. And we can sit here and we can talk all that shit all day long, but when we associate ourselves with people who are the very antithesis of everything that we say we stand for, we call into question all of that, right? We call that into question. And so, like, when it comes to R. Kelly, when this is one of those situations with R. Kelly where it's really no fucking fence to sit on anymore with this guy, right? There was a story that came out just last week where and I wanted to talk about this Thursday. I don't even have it in front of me right now, but there was a story that came out last week where there was one young lady who had taken a payment. She was basically, she had taken an agreement. She was to not speak ill of R. Kelly. What was it? One of those non-disclosure agreements where she said that she had a sexual relationship with R. Kelly that began when she was 16 years old, that she went to R. Kelly's trial. His child pornography trial, right? He was on trial in Chicago for child pornography. She said she was skipping school and she was going to the trial, and that R. Kelly noticed her at his trial and invited her to his home and started grooming her and eventually having sex with her. And then he had to pay her off to keep quiet about that relationship, right? And so now this young lady, who's probably about almost 30 some odd years old now, she is... she's come forward to talk about her relationship and her experiences with R. Kelly. She is somebody who has had a non-disclosure agreement with R. Kelly about her relationship with him, right? And so the interesting thing about it was the fact that, yo, even to this day, people were looking at her and saying, well, she was the dummy. She was the one who was going to R. Kelly and seeing about him at his trial. She was the one who was going to his house. Her mama should have never let her go to his house. Her mama should have been a hell of a lot more attentive to what she was doing and how she ended up with R. Kelly. All of this stuff. Like, and then, of course, it all goes back to, well, she just wanted the money, right? So... we had this story come out. We had the story about how R. Kelly treats the women who are supposedly just, his girlfriends in his home, where their parents are saying that they want their daughters to come back home and all these other things. And then we have this story of, you know, everybody knows the story of him marrying a 15-year-old Aaliyah. We all seen this, you know, we may not have all seen the video, but we all know about the video where R. Kelly is on videotape pissing on a 14-year-old girl. We all seen R. Kelly be arrested in Orlando, Florida for having a cache of child pornography photos and videos and what have you. And yet and still, this dude is out here operating with impunity. So, like, the thing about it is, like, yo, I get a lot of shit from my people from Chicago who think that I'm always shitting on R. Kelly. Like, as a matter of fact, I get a lot of shit from a lot of people who just think I shit on black men, period. Like, everything, like, hey, black man can't do nothing, man, without this nigga Span talking some shit. You know, he gotta eat. Like, I hear all of that shit, right? But the thing is, like, understand this. R. Kelly was first accused of marrying a 15-year-old Aaliyah back in the 90s, right? We know that happened. When the sex tape came out of R. Kelly back in, I want to say 2002, 2003, that gives us about 14, maybe 15 years of us knowing that R. Kelly has a penchant for underage girls, right? 15 years. R. Kelly has been able to produce and write. He's been able to put out album after album after album. He's been on tour with Jay-Z. He's been on tour with Monica and Tyrese and Keisha Cole and K Michelle. Like, all of these artists have continuously worked with this dude despite all of the shit that's going on with him. And people have continued to go to these shows. They have continued to buy these albums. They have continued to prop this dude up. Like, at the end of the day, R. Kelly hasn't suffered one bit for what he's done or what he's accused of doing. Now, I look at this, you know, like this whole thing with the canceling of a concert. Like, yeah, some people may just be like, no, it ain't got nothing to do with what's going on with R. Kelly in the news right now and everything else. But it could be. You know what I'm saying? It could be. I think it's a sad commentary that there's so many people who would still patronize this dude up until this point. And it goes to that whole thing that I was talking about, man. When we talking about, you know, dudes who have the support, like, of black people, like, we propping these dudes up. The same thing with Floyd Mayweather, when Floyd Mayweather has been known to victimize black women by beating them up. R. Kelly has been known to victimize black young black girls by sexualizing them and sexually abusing them. And yet and still, there's a contingent of black folks who will continue to raise these dudes up as the epitome of blackness, as if they're representing for the culture. It's a sad commentary, man. And that's not even me buying into no respectability politics or anything. It's like, yo, these dudes are fucked. These dudes are fucked on a principle level. And that's where I come in. That is like, yo, on a principle level, like, yo, I can't rock with this shit. I can't fuck with this shit here. And you damn sure are not about to present these dudes to me as representative of the culture when we know that the culture includes black women and these dudes mistreat black women. How in the fuck do you reconcile that? It's like a lot of the dudes who would call black sisters queens. You're like, what's up, queen? You know what I'm saying? How you doing today, queen? A lot of these motherfuckers are fans of R. Kelly, and a lot of these motherfuckers are fans of Floyd Mayweather, man. There's no ifs, ands, or buts around it. Like, that just is what it is. So, yeah. R. Kelly's concert got canceled in Memphis. low-key, I kind of hope they keep y'all fucking money. For being like, I hope they keep y'all money. I kind of hope, like, y'all need to start treating R. Kelly the way, like, y'all need to start treating R. Kelly in the way that Lauryn Hill treats y'all when y'all buy them damn tickets to her concert. She be like, yeah, y'all bought these tickets knowing goddamn well I ain't coming. That's what needs to happen, man. Real talk. Y'all get all the way there and that motherfucker not show up because he locked up for child porn or child abuse or whatever the fuck it is that he's into right now, man. Real talk. So, yeah, that's going on. See? Oh, man. Let's see. Lots of stuff. Matter of fact, shit. This is going back to Colin Kaepernick, man. Going back to Colin Kaepernick. So, check this out, man. There was a story that came out earlier this week that I... This came out earlier this week. It has to do with George Foreman, right? So, George Foreman, who many of us know, a lot of kids know him as the dude behind the George Foreman grill. George Foreman, former heavyweight champion of the world. He got rope-a-doped by the great Muhammad Ali. came back and won the heavyweight championship of the world at the, like, I think at age like 49. Yeah, so like he has an allegiance to Donald Trump, right? So there's a story that just came out of the New York Daily News, and the story goes like this. It says George Foreman grilled Colin Kaepernick and Kevin Durant about their lack of patriotism. It says the former heavyweight champion boxer and grill salesman slammed Kaepernick and Durant on the Offended America podcast for not being patriotic and lauded President Trump's performance as commander-in-chief. It says Kaepernick and Durant haven't been brought up with people who were patriotic to even point them in the right direction, Foreman stated, referencing Kaepernick's national anthem protest and Durant's refusal to visit the White House. Some of them are trying to make a point. It's like, look at me. I'm trying to say something. You got to respect that, too, he continued. It says Foreman also explained how many people died to allow for the privilege of reciting the national anthem. When asked about Durant's recent comments about not visiting the White House, he told a story about how he doesn't have a photo with Richard Nixon because he was ignorant and wouldn't support the candidate over his plans to end the Job Corps. Or I guess he wouldn't meet with the president to support the candidate over his plans to end the Job Corps. Your guy doesn't win and you figure something is wrong. I'm going to not like the guy. I'm going against him and everything, but that's all there is. Sore loser, he continued. I was one. So basically he's saying that Kevin Durant was a Hillary Clinton supporter, supposedly. This is what George Foreman is assuming this, that Kevin Durant was a Hillary Clinton supporter. And so that because Kevin Durant was a Hillary Clinton supporter, he's therefore being a sore loser. And saying that, yo, I'm not going to support anything with this guy, man. Like, no, I don't like him. He wasn't who I voted for and everything else. And the thing that's sad about that commentary is the fact that, yo, that just assumes that everything else that Donald Trump has been doing up until this point has nothing to do with why Kevin Durant was decided, like, yo, I'm not fucking with this guy. We just talked about Joe Arpaio, the sheriff down in Arizona, who is pardoned by this dude who's occupying the White House right now, while, as he says, that he was just doing his job, but at the same time, he was violating a court order that told him to stop racially profiling, that told him to stop rounding up Mexicans or those of Latin descent and for minor offenses and trying to get them deported, whether they were citizens or not. And he did this with impunity for 17 months. This isn't talking about, again, we're still talking about Joe Arpaio, where there were sexual assault cases that were not even fully investigated because Joe Arpaio was so fucking consumed with illegal immigration that they were cases that they didn't even bother to investigate thoroughly. Hundreds of cases that they didn't investigate thoroughly because of his obsession with illegal immigration. Trump pardoned that dude, right? We're not going to even talk about the transgender ban that he just instituted. He just wrote through executive order on Friday, right? To ban transgender people from operating or serving in the military. A military whom he himself opted not to serve while the Vietnam War was going on. Got all the deferments in the world. Now, mind you, I'm not about to tell anybody that they need to go ahead and sign up for being in the armed forces. But for those people who want to be in the armed forces, to be told by a guy who didn't want to serve himself that you can't serve in the armed forces is rich as fuck. Right? So George Foreman sits here and he talks about these dudes being sore losers or these dudes not being patriotic. Meanwhile, the president or the dude who's occupying the White House right now thought that there were Nazis and thought that the Nazis were, matter of fact, let me pull this up. He thought that the Nazis were.
But you also had people that were very fine people on both sides.
He thought that Nazis were very fine people. This is George Foreman speaking on behalf of Donald fucking Trump to call Kevin Durant and Colin Kaepernick unpatriotic, that Colin Kaepernick has no right to sit to kneel during the national anthem in protest of what's going on in this country and bringing attention to what's going on in this country when it comes to police, the treatment that police are giving black folks. George Foreman telling us that these dudes are unpatriotic for asking this country, for demanding that this country live up to the promise of its creed, that all men are created equal. Jesus, man. So says the grilling entrepreneur praised Trump for his business skills, noting that the POTUS pulled him out of bankruptcy by putting on the pay-per-view fight between him and Evander Holyfield in 1991. So check this out, man. Like, listen.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
Basically, he owes his life to Donald Trump. He was bankrupt. Donald Trump put up the fight on pay-per-view. It allowed me to make some money. So he is forever. I have sold my soul to Donald Trump. He says, I was broke too. Bankrupt. Put me back. He was part of writing those checks so I could be well on the wealthy side again. So I'll always be grateful to the entrepreneur Donald Trump. And he said, now President Donald Trump. Now, interestingly enough, of course, you know, we live in a time where like, yo, the internet is forever, man. Everybody hears what you say. Everybody knows what you're going through. Everybody like sees, you know, like this thing here, like you cannot run from what you said. And people are going to react to what you said. So of course, George Foreman, after getting some backlash about what he said about what happened with Colin Kaepernick and Kevin Durant, he started backtracking, right? So this story here comes out of what's this? I love oldschoolmusic.com, right? It says, boxing icon George Foreman is known for many things as a champ and also the man who was defeated by the late, great Muhammad Ali. He's the founder of the Foreman Grill that helped America cook a much healthier piece of grilled chicken and fish. Recently, he also became known as a heavyweight who thinks Donald Trump is a wonderful president and slammed Colin Kaepernick's peaceful protests against injustices against African Americans in America as unpatriotic. Now, just a few days after those statements, he'll now be known as the heavyweight legend who was also a hell of a backpedaler because as of Thursday, August 24th, that's exactly what he did in regarding his prior Kaepernick bashing. In case you missed Foreman slamming Kaepernick, as well as NBA player Kevin Durant's refusal to take a trip to the White House as long as Trump resides there, here's what he said. On Kaepernick and Durant being unpatriotic, Kaepernick and Durant haven't been brought up with people who were patriotic to even point them in the right direction. Foreman also compared Durant's refusal to visit the White House this year to his younger ignorant self when he refused to visit the White House back in the day when Richard Nixon was president. Foreman said that he later regretted that decision because he missed out on a photo op with Nixon, even though he was against what Nixon represented. He now thinks that Durant will soon regret his White House skit with Trump for the same reason a photo op. Foreman also called Kaepernick and Durant sore losers. Your guy doesn't win. You figure something is wrong. I'm not going to like the guy. Foreman continued. I'm against him and everything, but that's all there is. Sore loser. I was one. Now, George Foreman has since kind of backtracked on this. Matter of fact, let's go ahead and just give him the proper sounds. Yeah, this is what George Foreman is all about right now. So check this out. George Foreman went on TMZ and he had this to say.
I started from zero and became everything I wanted. And I traveled all over the country. I had enough money to set my roots down, my anchor down anywhere and live there, but I always gravitate back home. Now, some guys have something, and when you're young, you gotta have an opinion. What's the use of being young if you can't protest? I mean, if David had tried, he wouldn't have fought Goliath if he had been 40. But when you're young, you just gotta say, hey, conceived in liberty. And that's where he was. I mean, give me liberty or give me death. I mean, we created that right here in the United States. There's nothing wrong with a guy voicing his opinion. But this guy's a great football player. I can't see why he doesn't have a job. He's that good. Any team is going to be better if they put him on their team. Kaepernick is a great quarterback. He should have a job. They're right.
Yeah.
If you like what you just saw and you want to see more videos of your favorite app.
Yeah. So he went from being unpatriotic. He went from being ignorant to he's a great football player. He should be on the team and everything else. Like nobody is. No. Here's the thing. Like the entire argument that Colin Kaepernick was not on a football team for football reasons has been torn to shreds over the course of this year since his protest started. Even when he was playing football last year for the 49ers, he put up really decent numbers for a very bad fucking football team. Nobody is at this point who has any reason in their head to believe that Colin Kaepernick shouldn't be on an NFL football team, and every reason to believe that the reason that he's not on the NFL football team is because of the reason that he took the stands last year. So for George Foreman right now, for George Foreman to be like out here taking this stance that like, yo, I get it. Donald Trump is your boy. But at the same time, like, yo, Kevin Durant is his right to not go to the White House if he so chooses. Right. In much the same way that Tom Brady decided that he wasn't going to go to the White House when Barack Obama was president. Right. At least Kevin Durant is being a bit more truthful in the reasons why he's not going. He's not giving us any bullshit reasons as to why he's not going. He's giving us a pretty fucking stand up guy reason as to why, hey, I don't fuck with that guy, and that's why I'm not going. Right? So yeah, man, backpedaling. And you know what, we've seen, here's another thing, man. And like I said, I don't have any notes tonight, man. I'm just kind of going off the cuff tonight. But there's this idea when it comes to like older folks, when they speak on these issues, right? Because me and one of my partners, man, we go way back, and he was talking about Jim Brown and whether or not folks will call Jim Brown a coon because of Jim Brown's stance on Colin Kaepernick and what have you, and whether or not Colin Kaepernick his methods mean anything today, and all these other things, right? And one of the things that I kind of tell people, man, like there's this idea, and we talked about this last week, there's this idea that like the tactics don't change, that we got this manual on how we do things, and we don't update the manual on how we are to fix things or how we are to do things. And Jim Brown was one of those people who came out in support of Donald Trump earlier this year. I gave Jim Brown the motherfucking ass hat of the week award on this show. I hated to do it. You can go back and listen. It pained me to give this motherfucker that award. But lately, Jim Brown has been on some real fucked up shit, right? Jim Brown has been on some, you know, we got to give this dude a chance kind of thing. Or, you know, this guy is going to help black people in this way or whatever else. He made these promises to me, so I'm going to hold him to these promises that he made to me. Whether or not black people benefit from them, maybe, maybe not, right? Now, the reason that, you know, the reason that it is troublesome for some black folks is because, like I said, like one of my partners, man, he was talking about Jim Brown being a pioneer as far as, you know, athletes stepping up and stepping out as far as racial issues were concerned, as far as social issues were concerned, as black athletes were being treated. But at the same time, that does not mean that a dude cannot grow out of touch with what the people want, and that a dude can not be out here espousing like a really fucked up message. So although we respect the work that Jim Brown, and maybe even at one point if George Foreman had ever done any of that work, although you may respect the work that they had previously done, that does not mean that somehow gives them a pass on the shit that they're doing now. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can't operate in that vacuum where, like, yo, and that's the same principle that we applied to motherfucking Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders was out here talking about, yo, I marched with Dr. King, so therefore black people should vote for me. Like, nah, bro, what are you doing right now to make me want to vote for you? What are you doing right now to address the issues that I need you to address to earn that vote? And so, like, for guys like Jim Brown, and for guys like George Foreman to not understand the ways in which the world is operating right now is what really that's the gist of what this is that the battlefield isn't the same. The battlefield is fluid, man. It doesn't stay static. It doesn't stay the same. And so the tactics that may have been used as far as the movement, or the movement for black lives, the movement for civil liberties, and the movement for racial justice, those tactics, although they may have been effective in the 50s and the 60s, sometimes they may even be effective now, but that does not mean that we cannot incorporate new methods and new strategies to kind of reflect the world in which we're living in today, right? We mobilize a hell of a lot different today than we did back then. We have access to more information now than we ever did back then. So the ways in which we move, the speed in which we move are different from the ways in which the community moved, and the speed in which the community moved from the 50s and 60s and 70s. It just is. That's the nature of progression. That's the nature of advancement. So yeah, man, like, it hurts to watch these dudes come out here and say this kind of shit, this silly shit. At the same time, understand that even then, there were black people who spoke out against Martin Luther King Jr. There were people who spoke against Malcolm X. There were people who spoke against Medgar Evers because they were comfortable in their blackness, although they were subjugated to white supremacy. Right? They were comfortable in that, and they didn't want anybody rocking the boat. You see a lot of that when it comes to black Republicans now, man. They are comfortable. And here's another thing, man. When it comes to a lot of these black Republicans, man, like, they are comfortable because they have somehow found a way to make it within white supremacy. And if other people who have not been able to make it in the ways in which they have within the construct of white supremacy start trying to shake that boat, they get uneasy. They get uncomfortable because now it seems as if everything that they work for may also come down. Right? That's what that really is. They're afraid of what they've built also coming down with the coming down of white supremacy. And this is why you see like a lot of like, you know, conservative or well-off black folks leaning towards the Republican Party and leaning towards a lot of those kind of policies is because they somehow they found a way to make it within that. They found a way for themselves. I got mine. Now you get yours. Not each one teach one. Not let me reach back and help those who may not necessarily have the advantages that I have at this particular moment. Not using my platform to raise up those behind me. And that's why, like, to a large degree, man, why I have issues with a lot of black Republicans, man. Like, they look at situations as if they not only are dealing with it themselves, they haven't dealt with it themselves, but then also they'll try to minimize the issues that marginalized folks are dealing with. They kind of separate themselves from that. So, yeah. It's disheartening, man. I know I kind of like went on a tangent from George Foreman and fucking Jim Brown to like black Republicans and stuff like that. But yeah, like it all kind of weaves together, man. If you're really paying attention, if you're really watching this shit go on, man, it all kind of weaves together. And as a matter of fact, as I'm speaking on this, right, as I'm speaking on this, we'll go right on into our ass hat of the week, man. Let me pull this music up.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
All right, our ass hat of the week this week is Herman Cain, right? So Herman Cain wrote a letter to like an open letter to Dr. Ben Carson. Dr. Ben Carson, who is currently the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. Ben Carson was called an Uncle Tom or a house Negro by a publication here in Michigan. I believe it was the Michigan Chronicle that called Dr. Ben Carson a house Negro, right? So in support of Ben Carson, Herman Cain decided that he was going to write an open letter. And he says, "Hello, may I speak to Ben? Ben, this is Herman. I know you don't know me, but I thought I'd give you a call because I understand what you're going through. I know what it's like to be called a house Negro because they call me a house Negro too. And if being like the rest of these darkies is the only way to get rid of that label, then I'll be that." Okay, so Herman Cain really didn't say that, but he basically said that. Recently, the Michigan Chronicle, a historically black newspaper from Ben Carson's hometown of Detroit, referred to the Carson as the shame of Detroit and said that he was in competition for the House Negro of the Year award. Cain didn't take too kindly to that, and the former Republican presidential candidate wrote a post on his website blasting the paper for using the term. He took it up a step further on Wednesday when he wrote another post titled House Negro Stand Up, in which he laments that he too has been referred to as a House Negro. "They say it to me too, Dr. Ben Carson, because just like you, I refuse to embrace the backward thinking of today's black identity politics," Cain writes. He goes on to say that since the Chronicle thinks that Carson is a house Negro, then he, Cain, must be one too, because he's one of the names you get called by because that's one of the names you get called by other black people when you are a success at something and you do not buy into the black groupthink or act and say what they want you to say. Remember what I just said. Remember what I just said. A lot of this is couched in them separating themselves from other black people. A lot of this is couched in that. I got mine, now you get yours. Not each one teach one, not reaching back and helping others. I got mine, you get yours. And if you speak out against white supremacy, then somehow the gains that they have made will somehow come to crumble in the ways in which we want white supremacy to crumble. That's what they're afraid of. So he goes on to say, that since the Chronicle thinks that Carson is a house Negro, then he must be one too because, I read that part. It says, "No, sir, I don't think that's quite how the moniker is earned, but please continue." Cain goes on to criticize the current movement to have Confederate monuments removed, calling it a waste of time and distractions, and saying that the Chronicle may not have noticed the successful black people in prominent positions in America because they mind their business like the good black folks they are, focusing on performance and productive opportunities rather than worrying about the past. Now, ironically, Herman Cain would say that the Chronicle is worrying about the past when right now we have white nationalists, we have Nazis, we have the KKK fighting for the preservation of these statues that are monuments to treasonous generals who fought to secede from the fucking Union. Right? Like, the irony of that is fucking insane. Like, Herman Cain is saying that black people are too worried about the history. We're too worried about the past. Meanwhile, you got white people with tiki torches and guns and bulletproof vests and swastikas marching the streets trying to preserve these fucking monuments to the past of white supremacy. Get the fuck out of here, man. Get the fuck out of here. So then it says, then Cain gets all, he won't say it, but I will, like he's really about to read someone or something. He says, "Gentle Ben Carson is too nice to respond to that garbage and article and name calling by the Monster Chronicle, but I'm not. Let's start with the fact that he prayed hard about even accepting the HUD job. Personally, I was glad he accepted it because he will bring outside the box ideas and thinking to HUD. Many of the old ways of doing things have left many of our urban areas unchanged for 50 years, and too many of our young people have been trapped in cycles of poverty, crime, and weak educations." So wait a minute. Ben Carson, who has absolutely no fucking experience in this position, is going to bring outside the box thinking. Meanwhile, the housing and urban development, like that whole entire department, like we're seeing public housing being gutted. We're seeing Section 8 housing vouchers being reduced. We're seeing it's amazing. Like, one of the things that I thought was very interesting over the course of this week, man, is that we saw here in Michigan, folks were talking, like, there's this bill going through the Michigan legislature where they're talking about food stamps and whether or not food stamps should be used for items such as soda, pop, candy, potato chips, things like that. Whether or not those items should be permissible to use with food stamps, whether you should be able to buy that with food stamps. Meanwhile, and it was a lot of conservative folks who were saying, well, those aren't necessities. You should only buy the necessities with the food stamps that we provide for you. My tax dollars shouldn't go towards you buying pop and all this other shit. Meanwhile, over 50% of your money goes to the Department of Defense, who's just now announced, or Trump just now announced, that, yo, you're going to be in Afghanistan. After being there for 16 years, your ass going to be in Afghanistan for perpetuity. And we need this budget increase for the military, for the Department of Defense, to the tune of $52 billion. Would it be? So you worried about whether or not somebody is buying pop, somebody is buying chips on food stamps, and not worried about your money going towards perpetual war. You got to kill them over there, so we ain't got to kill them over here. Meanwhile, white nationalist Nazi KKK motherfuckers are using the exact same tactics that the Taliban or that the ISIS fighters are using by weaponizing cars and mowing people down. Amazing the disconnect that these silly motherfuckers got, right? So yeah, Herman Cain is the fucking ass hat of the week here at the Span Report, man. It's it's amazing the level of the intellectual disconnect that a lot of folks are having with a lot of these issues, and it is I every week I'm dumbfounded by a lot of the things that are going on with a lot of this stuff, man. But we do have a champ.
The champ is here.
All right. Our champ this week here on the Span Report podcast is none other than Maxine Waters, man. So Maxine Waters, who has been a freedom fighter for Maxine Waters, who has been in the Congress for quite some time, man, who's been fighting for black folks for quite some time, who has been unapologetically black and going after Donald Trump and being a voice for speaking real truth to power in a position of power. Maxine Waters won an award at the Black Girls Rock award ceremony on BET, and we're going to play that award ceremony acceptance speech here, man. So here we go.
Congressman Waters, Auntie Maxine, for your dedication to truth and justice, for the way you keep it real all the time, for your gospel hit, I'm Reclaiming My Time. Please accept the Black Girls Rock Social Humanitarian Award.
You rock!
Good evening, everyone. To Beverly Bond, the founder of Black Girls Rock, and Deborah Lee, the chairman and CEO of BET, I'm extremely grateful for the recognition that I'm receiving this evening. But I want you to know, if it was not for the love and respect shown to me by Black women, those right-wing, ultra-conservative, alt-right haters, they would have me believe I'm too black, I'm too confrontational, I'm too tough, and I'm too disrespectful of them. But now I know I'm simply a strong black woman. We have influence. We can do things that others have told us we can't do. I don't care how big you are. I don't care how high you think you are. If you come for me, I'm coming for you. And so, whether it's the President of the United States of America or any of his cabinet, we will say to them, we will resist you. We will not allow you to damage this country in the way that you're doing. We will not allow you to take us backwards. Not only will we resist you, we will impeach you, Mr. President. And so, I know that you are as inspired as I am this evening. I want you to know that I said, and I'll say it over and over again, reclaiming my time. I love you all. Thank you.
All right, all right. So Maxine Waters, of course, is the champ of the week this week here on the Span Report podcast, man. Now, before I get out of here, I did get...
Well, guys, today is a bit of a branch off from traditional video.
Stop it. All right. I did get an email this week to respond to this week here on the Span Report podcast. So let me go ahead and respond here. Let me read this. This here comes from Lance. And Lance writes in to say, hey, Span, really quickly, I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to Jay-Z's recent interview with Rap Radar concerning 444, but in it, he talked about his support for LeVar Ball and how he bought three pairs of Big Baller Brand shoes to help move the brand forward. I know you in particular aren't the biggest fan of the Ball family, but I was wondering if hearing Jay-Z's reasoning would change your mind on the subject. Anyway, love the show and keep doing what you're doing, Lance. All right, so I saw that earlier. I did watch that earlier last week. Really good watch. I really enjoyed that entire interview that they did. And I did hear a part about LeVar Ball and him buying the three pairs of Big Baller Brand shoes. Now, one of the things about this whole thing, man, I think there's a misconception about how I feel about the Ball family. I have absolutely nothing against the Ball boys, right? Like the sons, like Lonzo, LaMelo, and LiAngelo, I have absolutely nothing against those kids whatsoever. It's unfortunate that their father is a blathering jackass more than anything else, right? I have a problem with LeVar Ball's promotion of himself above his sons, despite the fact that it's his sons' abilities that are even giving them the platform to begin with. His son's ability to play basketball is great. His father's ability to overshadow his greatness with his mouth is not so great, right? And so that's my beef with LeVar Ball, is the fact that he promotes himself above his own sons when it is his son's ability that has even gotten them to this point. Now, some would say that, yo, it was because LeVar Ball was pushing him and all these other things. Like, LeVar Ball pushed him and he trained him and all this stuff. Like, yeah, there could be something said about that. But by and large, most of y'all don't know about LeVar Ball because of him pushing his sons, him training his sons. Y'all know about LeVar Ball because LeVar Ball runs his fucking mouth. And LeVar Ball has said some really fucked up shit. LeVar Ball has done some really fucked up shit. Like, when you think about the fact that he got a woman referee kicked out of a tournament because she had the audacity to give this asshole a technical foul. Yo, that happens in basketball. You can't whine your way out of a fucking technical foul. And not only that, the coach gets the referee removed from the game. The referee is the ultimate authority on that game. So there's that. And then there's the countless times where this dude has had something sideways to say to women or about women. You know what I'm saying? And then not only the ridiculous things he said about whether or not he beat Michael Jordan and whether or not he beat Charles Barkley, whether or not, like, all that other shit is like his ability to promote himself by and large is the beef that I have with LeVar Ball. We have had countless fathers who some would deem overbearing, who were able to kind of fall back when their sons or their daughters' ability was on plain display. Like, you look at Tiger Woods' father. You look at Serena Williams and Venus Williams' father. Like, the dude, although some of us or some people in the media would have considered those dudes overbearing, some of those dudes would have thought that they were being overly ambitious about the accomplishments that their kids would be able to make. Ultimately, those dudes were right. But at the same time, those dudes got out of the fucking way when it came to those kids' ability to do what it was that they had to do. So as far as Jay-Z was concerned, Jay-Z's whole thing was, yo, he's about the promoting of the brand and black people having their own brands and not necessarily relying on Nike and Reebok and Under Armour and all these things in order for them to move forward. And I get that and I understand that. At the same time, like, yo, there's nothing wrong with taking these folks' money and using their money to forward your shit too, right? There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. If Nike is going to give you $20 million to wear they shit for a couple years and you use that $20 million to further your big baller brand shit on the back end, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that either. So, like, we don't have these false choices, man. We don't have to make these false equivalent choices where it's either one or the other. We can do this and that. We can do this or, like, it doesn't have to be this or that. It can be this and that, you know? And so, like, the whole thing with LeVar Ball, man, like I said, my beef is his ability or his thing with promoting himself above the ability of his sons, and it's his son's ability that has even gotten them to the point that they are in the first place, right? It's not that I have hate for the Ball family. I don't like that asshole. And that's what it is, man. So, yeah, appreciate you writing in, Lance, and I hope to hear from you again soon, brother. Thank you so much for the email. But it is time for us to go. Game of Thrones is 7 minutes away, so I got to get out of here. But before we go, of course, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spam Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. You can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. I'll play them on the show and respond here in kind. You can also email me at feedback@thespamreport.com. That's feedback@thespamreport.com. Leave me those emails, and of course I respond to those emails here just like I did with Lance right here on the show. You can also hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span, so go ahead, follow your boy there. Hit your boy up on iTunes and or Stitcher with those 5-star reviews, man. Much appreciated when you do that. Those 5-star reviews help the show grow, man, and it passes the word on to everybody else that you like what we got going on here at the Spam Report. Those 5-star reviews get read here live on the show as well. And for all of your Spam Report needs, go to www.thespamreport.com. Everything is available there. The replays of the show, buy t-shirts from the show, vote in the polls, leave comments on the website, man. Everything is available right there at thespamreport.com. It's your one-stop shop for everything Spam Report related, man. But I got to go. Game of Thrones season finale is tonight, and I got to catch up on it and watch it. So I'm gone, y'all. But until next time, fam, peace.